Well, the schedule is out. By now, you've all seen it. And that means it's time for Jeremiah and I to check back in here on the Sideline Guys podcast. We're both coming to you from Indianapolis here on this Monday morning. We've seen this schedule now, gotten a couple of days to digest it. A couple of things stands out. The 12 national TV games stand out. The opening weekend, as always, stands out, and you got the chance. I want to tease this here right off the bat and then kind of delve back into it as we come back to it on the show. But you just got back to Dallas. In fact, you were in Dallas when this schedule was released, and that's where Miles Turner is.
Yeah, Miles Turner is working very hard this offseason, as really all NBA players do, but many have seen via Instagram or some of the other articles about some of the steps he is taking to improve himself physically, mentally, do everything he can to be the best player that he can be this upcoming season. And I think Pacers fans will enjoy watching some of the coverage that we will put together both the preseason and into the early weeks of the regular season on Fox Sports Indiana. Got to spend one day working out with him and then one day at his camp. More on that a little bit later. But I was actually the one who broke the news to Miles Turner about when the first game would be. The schedule came out at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. It was the middle of day one of his youth basketball camp at Trinity High School, and I found myself having a hard time staying focused on the job covering the camp when I knew the schedule was coming out. And he was on the court working with some kids, and not long after the schedule was official, I said, "Hey, have you seen the schedule yet?" He said, "No." So that was a good sign. He was working hard, but he said, "Who do we open with?" And I said, "Home against Memphis," and he kind of nodded in approval. And his dad, David, did see the schedule before Miles and said, "So we got some more national TV love," which the day before he had said, I heard we kind of got a raw deal. And so I think it was kind of a similar reaction that a number of Pacers fans, Pat, had, because on Wednesday when the NBA released the Christmas Day games, the opening week games, the Martin Luther King games, Martin Luther King Jr. Day games, the Pacers were not featured. And so it initially looked like, oh, once again, the Pacers slighted, no national TV games. But there were so many other national TV games on the schedule. And the Pacers well represented, I think, by all accounts, with 12.
And I think there was, as you mentioned, that brief period of time where the Pacers weren't involved in a Christmas Day game. They didn't get an MLK Day game. They weren't on opening weekend. And everybody remembered the one national TV game that they got last year. And so I think 12 is a really good number. I think it's a fair number. I think when you consider that if you're going to get 12, I haven't seen the list yet, or if you have seen the ranking of teams with the most national games down to the least, but we did note that last year 12 would have placed you right around 12th most in the NBA. And when you consider that it's in the top half of the NBA, you know that most of these top teams, the top level teams with stars like Golden State and Houston, going to Western Conference Finals, winning championships, they're staying at the top of that list. So once you jump past that first handful of teams, there's probably 1 through 8 from last year probably weren't going to take any significant steps backwards besides maybe a Washington or a Cleveland. Besides that, most of the top teams from when they created the schedule last year are still top teams. This is about 1 out of every 7 or so games on national TV. When you include some of the NBA TV schedule, it's even better. I know you and the group that is part of the Fox Sports Indiana broadcast full-time, you guys have a little bit more of a vested interest in this because you want the national interest for the team, but when it's on ABC or TNT, that you guys can't run side-by-side with those games. If it's a home game, I'm not able to go into the locker room and be a part of the TV post-game show. So there's a little bit of a balance. You can run side-by-side with ESPN, but when it is a game that is on one of these ABC or TNT, it's good national exposure. Fox Sports Indiana can't run side-by-side. So I think you just hope for a balance. You hope for good national attention, but still the opportunity to tell the stories of this season throughout the year. And when you look at the schedule, you start with Memphis on the 17th. That's a home game, so you get to start at home. And then game two, you go to Milwaukee, and it'll be the first game in their brand new arena. You'll be part of it. That'll be difficult. And then the Pacers will come back and they'll have Brooklyn. So you've got a couple winnable games, a couple very winnable home games early. That Milwaukee game will be tough with it being the opening of that building. But it'll be interesting. I don't think you'll have any trouble finding storylines that early in the year. And then you come back for a tougher stretch that includes San Antonio and Portland. So I think one of the things the Pacers have to advantage is, for the first time, at least since I've been working here, this is my fifth season, I think continuity is a major strength that they have going into this year. My first year was going into the Paul George broken leg year. You remember David West, George Hill had injuries. That team just didn't have the continuity because of the injury. And then each of the last 3 years, there's been a lot of movement in the offseason coming into the year. So I think they've got the continuity. They're in a position where I think that you would hope that a team that gelled very quickly last year would also gel very quickly with a couple of moves that they made, but the core is still in place. And you open up with a couple winnable home games, then you go out on a road trip, and you come back for Portland, the Knicks, Chicago opens up the November slate. I'm really going to be interested to see how the Pacers play early on. They played pretty well to open up the season after their first few games. They started off 1-2. They went on a road trip, got their groove together a little bit. I think there's an opportunity to have a strong start to this season. Depending upon where their record ends up, we'll see. But I really think the Pacers should come out of this stretch in October playing well. You've got more road heavy as October continues on, and I think it's a team that's prepared for that, and I think they'll play well here at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, six of the first nine away from home, not maybe ideal, but as you referenced, maybe not as detrimental as it could be in a season where you are still trying to gel a little bit and try to figure things out. I think for the last 3 or 4 years in our season opening 1 hour pregame show, we've always devoted a lot of time to meet the new Pacers, and we don't have to do that as much this season. Obviously, there are always going to be some new acquisitions. No team stays the same from 1 year to the next, but you're in a position where maybe seven of your top eight guys are coming back, and not necessarily that's who will be the top eight this year, but maybe from one season ago. So I think continuity will help that early season road trip. There are a few dates that I always look at when the schedule comes out, and the first one is obviously the very first game. It's always better from broadcasters, selfishly, from a broadcaster's perspective, to have that first game at home, because we always have a one-hour pregame show. That means we can get Pat Boylan live in the Fox Loft for that one-hour pregame show, and we're always looking to try to make that show as big and as you know, with all the kind of bells and whistles as we can. So I like having that first game at home. Go to Milwaukee, help open that new arena with the Bucks. We'll have a lot of excitement. And so there have been times trips to Milwaukee have been kind of blah for me. If I'm being perfectly honest, it probably hasn't been my favorite NBA road trip. Hopefully, I don't think I'm the kind of person that can make bulletin board material. No one in Milwaukee is going to say that Jeremiah doesn't like to go to Milwaukee. But I'll be honest, the BMO Harris-Bradley Center was not an impressive arena. And so I never really kind of looked forward to that trip. It should be a good trip. And then you come home, you play again home on Saturday against the Nets, and then you prepare for, you know, a few more games away from home. But I look at the season opener, that's at home. I look, is there a Halloween night game? Unfortunately, Halloween night at New York against the Knicks. Selfishly, not one of the things that I enjoy about this schedule, because I like to be home with the kids. But that is one of those ESPN games. And so I think you see the Pacers-Knicks rivalry. Maybe the NBA is trying to get that going again. You see the Pacers-76ers games. All four of those are nationally televised. And I knew we would lose some games, you know, just to reiterate kind of the point with Fox Sports Indiana, we cannot broadcast a game if it's on ABC or TNT. We are able to broadcast the ESPN games and, of course, the NBA TV games. And I knew we wouldn't do as many games as last year because, if you'll remember, Pat, we did 83. We had all 82. We did that one ESPN game side by side with ESPN, and then we had two games in New Orleans. One was not a game, and then one the makeup. So we actually had 83. We'll never do that again. We'll be on pace for regular season. You want to extend it into the postseason, and you want to try to get, you know, 86 or 87. But we'll have 78 of the 82 regular season games, and so I'm not worked up about the national TV coverage as much as most fans, but I do think it is good for the brand, for the franchise, to kind of be out there. As I've referenced before, I have friends that are Pacer fans in California. They don't have League Pass, so they don't have Fox Sports Indiana, and they don't get to see the Pacers as much as maybe they used to until the playoffs. This will give an opportunity for some fans to say, you know what? Let's check out Victor Oladipo. Let's check out Miles Turner tonight, and maybe you create some new fans that way.
Yeah, and I think for people in your position, I think most people that listen to us know this because we mentioned it pretty constantly throughout the season. They all see you at every road arena. For me, I do road games from our studio. So when the schedule at least comes out, it's kind of a different swing of emotions. Because on one hand, you play everyone at home, you play everyone on the road. It's 41 at home, it's 41 on the road. But it also kind of signifies that basketball's getting a little bit closer. Once we get to October, we'll be around training camp. We're about 2 months away from the start of the season. There will be preseason. And so for me, the couple things that I always look for, that opening game, which this will be my fifth year, four of them have been at home. I really like those. Not only do you get the atmosphere of an opener and get it at home, but I can sneak my way over onto the Fox Sports Indiana broadcast because I get kind of lonely. You guys went up to Toronto for the opener a couple years ago, and I felt a little bit lonely having you guys all up there for that game, and the season was starting and it wasn't here. So I like you guys being here. I like having the game here. I like being a part of the coverage. And we've discussed this before. I am a humongous fan of the December 31st early afternoon game. And part of it is because when I was a fan before I even started here, that was one of my favorite games to go to. You go with family to that game. And I think part of the reason I like it so much is because I have fond memories of going to that game. And I really like the timing. Everybody's home from Christmas. Those games always seem to have a nice edge to them. They're well attended. They're watched. They're listened to. And the 3 o'clock game always has a lot of excitement. Plus, the game will end at 5:30 and you can still have your evening plans. And then I very quickly noticed that there was no Jan 1 game, which happened a couple years ago as well. And when there's a Jan 1 game, it kind of changes your plans on December 31st. Because, of course, we want to make sure we're as mentally alert and as focused for every single game that we can.
You should be good by January 4th, right?
Yes. January 4th will not be a problem. I love that December 31st game. I love that it's a 3 o'clock game. I'm a big fan of that being a part of the schedule again. And there are parts of the schedule that seem to be on there every year. The Friday after Thanksgiving, that New Year's Eve game has been kind of a tradition. And I like the early part of the schedule having some winnable games. And then I go kind of to the end of the season, and I don't mind there being some games where you look at it and you say, they could have an April where they could win games if they need to. Detroit's really in an interesting position. I think they're going to be one of the more fascinating teams to watch this year. Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, that back or the front court together, having a full season and an off season before that to potentially gel. By that point, Detroit has been out of it for the last couple of years. So if they are again, you know, that's potentially against a non-playoff team. The last game against March, Orlando. Boston could be tough, but they could have things locked up. And then Brooklyn and Atlanta at the bottom of the schedule. And while I think you might see Brooklyn take another step forward, I think you like having that home game at that point in the season. So I always look for the beginning, the middle, the end. Some of it is for personal reasons and you know, when you like playing these games and when you like being at home. Some of it is team related and what could potentially help them, you know, have their best possible year. Things like back-to-backs, you know, obviously the fewer amount of those you have, the better it is for the team. But I try not to overreact anything on schedule day. And I know it's exciting. You see your schedule for the first time. But ultimately, everyone's playing each other at home. Everyone's playing each other on the road. And then there are more games. There's the national TV excitement as well that is a part and an aspect of this schedule. But I just like the fact that, personally, I've got a three-month wall calendar. And I like the fact that if I schedule 3 months out right now, I can put games on that calendar. So I think there's plenty of reason to have a lot of excitement.
Yeah, the offseason, I think, definitely has been longer than maybe we would have hoped. I think many Pacer fans were thinking the way last season went, you could be playing into May. And I think that's the goal for this upcoming season. So I'm ready to get going. You referenced the road games and maybe looking more at the home games. I'm always interested to see, when is the first time this team will go west for a week? And usually there are two of those kind of trips. There's also occasionally a longer trip that crisscrosses the Eastern time zone. And we've got one of those in early January, actually Eastern and Central, when Early January, you go at Chicago, at Toronto, at Cleveland, at Boston, at the Knicks. So that'll be some time away from home, some cold weather cities in cold weather months. But for so many years, the Pacers would go west the week after Thanksgiving. And one of the big reasons for that was the circus was always in town. Last year, without the circus, you did not have to do that. And the Pacers did not have their Western Conference road trip for the first time until January. Then they had another one in March. Well, now it's a little more spread out. And I think it's good to have one of those early in the season. So the Pacers, once again, after Christmas, or I should say after Thanksgiving, they'll head west. And I think that's an interesting road trip. Just four games. It starts at Utah. You've got a second half of a back-to-back at Phoenix. And then Thursday, November 29th. I don't know why this one, if you're going to be on national TV more, this would have, I would have thought, been the perfect one as the Pacers take on Lance Stephenson, LeBron James, and the Lakers. But I'm glad it's exclusive to Fox Sports Indiana. So we'll be there for that one November 29th and then at Sacramento December 1st. And then from that point on in December, you're kind of back and forth, home, road. And as you mentioned, that December 31st game against the Hawks in the afternoon, I think it's one of those traditions, much like the Friday after Thanksgiving, the Pacers request to have that game at home. It's always, great attendance with the Christmas tree lighting. They've also started to get a little bit of a tradition with that New Year's Eve game. So I'm glad to see that tradition continue. Anything else stand out to you, Pat, with regards to the Eastern Conference? Because I actually, while you're talking, I'm going to dig this up, but our research analyst, Kristen Airy, sent us a document that has numbers of teams across the entire league, sent that out at one point Friday night, I believe. So I'll share some nuggets with you. But, you know, as you mentioned, the schedule has pretty good balance, I think, with home and road. Not too many stretches where you say, oh, that's eight or nine teams in a row where you're going to have a hard time with.
No, I agree with that. And I look at the stretch, and one thing that really jumps out early in my eyes, you look at where are there big chunks of home games, where are there big stretches of road games, and one of the chunks of home games is at an interesting point because it wraps around the All-Star break. It starts Tuesday, February the 5th, and there's a lot of games during this stretch against what I think are intriguing teams. And then you go for a chunk of home games from Tuesday, February the 5th until Saturday, February the 23rd. Up until that 23rd date, the Pacers won't have a road game. And I like that long chunk where they can remain home and then take that time for the All-Star break. Milwaukee, the final game before the break. Then they come back and host New Orleans just after the All-Star break. And that's a stretch of six in a row at home that starts out with the two LA teams, Lakers, Clippers. Cleveland's a team that, where do they fall? What team are they at this point? In the Eastern Conference, I think they still have a decent chance to make the playoffs. They retain Kevin Love. They have Colin Sexton, who could be an impact player right away. They had an early pick. That was him with the eighth pick. Kevin Love, I think, is still a solid player, and I think he's a guy that will actually benefit and play at a higher level when he is involved more. I think we saw that version of him in Minnesota, and I actually think you'll see a better Kevin Love without LeBron James, but clearly without him, they're in for a step back. Charlotte's always one of those teams you aren't sure. I think a couple of years ago, people thought they were taking a step forward, then they've had a couple of down years. Milwaukee, New Orleans, some question marks, just how good can they be? And the Clippers, you wonder what they are. The Lakers, I think, fall into that category. That's all six of those games during that stretch. So I do like that stretch of schedule, and here's another thing I like about the schedule. Our friends over at Pacers Reddit already have their schedule planned out. It's early March. It's against the Magic. So if you think that we eagerly await the schedule, I think we have some like-minded friends over at Pacers Reddit who have already scheduled their Pacers Reddit night.
And hopefully no one gets me in trouble for speaking prematurely, but I was starting to look at what Saturday in the winter could be Basketball Day Indiana if that returns. And I was thinking maybe Saturday, January 19th against the Dallas Mavericks, but we'll have to see. Usually you'd have a Saturday home game and then you try to see what other college and or high school games can potentially match up. So hopefully Basketball Day Indiana returns for a third season on Fox Sports Indiana. And if it is, there aren't that many options. I suppose you could have Saturday, December 8th against the Sacramento Kings as an option as well. Or maybe you push it into February, but that gets a little more difficult because high school postseasons start to get underway. Now, I referenced some of the stats and some of the numbers in terms of national TV games. Chris Denary broke down every team, how many ABC, TNT, ESPN, and NBA TV games they had, and then compared them to a season ago. So the Pacers exceeded what? The projections of the win total last season more than any other team, and they've also almost exceeded national TV coverage from a year ago more than any other team. I'll ask you, Pat, what is the one team that you think have more national TV games than the Pacers did in terms of margins? So the Pacers had 17. He's counting NBA TV with this one compared to 3 from a season ago. What team would have more in the plus category?
My guess is, I try to think back to this time. That's what's tough, is thinking about the tenor of the league at this time last year. And I'm thinking Philadelphia. I think people were intrigued by them, but they hadn't really turned into a potential playoff team. I don't think people thought of them being where they ended up being until at least a month into the season. So I'm not sure there was that kind of following and that kind of excitement before. So my guess is Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a great guess, and it's an accurate guess. And what's interesting is not just, you know, the margin, but I mean, they have 39. And so if you take a look at what the NBA must think right now of the Philadelphia 76ers, once again, I'm combining NBA TV with it. So they had 39 games this year on national television. Last year, they had 23. So that's an increase of 16. So, you know, still you could say the Pacers might be, you know, lacking in the respect category, in that a year ago, the Sixers were slated for 23. This year, the Pacers are slated for 17. And once again, I'm including NBA TV. But the jump for the Pacers is by 14. The jump for the 76ers is by 16. And the other one I would not have thought of, and I'll share my thoughts on it. I'll just give you a quick chance to guess. I don't think you're going to get it, but you might, because you're a smart guy.
Okay, let's see here. How about, I'll go Utah.
It is not Utah. Utah increased by 7. And what's interesting about Utah, they did not get an ABC game. They got 3 TNT games. Their total is 17, the same as the Pacers. So you can kind of look at some teams and what does the NBA, and this is just, you know, this isn't necessarily what they think in terms of wins and losses, but in terms of marketability, the Jazz have 17, the Wizards have 17. They're down 11 from a year ago. The Pacers are right there at 17. The Pacers have 2 more than the Clippers, who are at 15. But the team that's made, the other team that has made a bigger jump than the Pacers, the Toronto Raptors. And it's interesting to me because the Raptors are one of those fan bases that always cry about a lack of respect. And I think deservedly so. I mean, they've been a top, you know, 1-2-3 team in the Eastern Conference for a number of years. Last season, they were, if you'll remember, the number one seed, and they were promptly eliminated by LeBron James again, this time in the second round. So they've been good. They're expected to be good this year. What's different? Trading out Kawhi Leonard for DeMar DeRozan, basically. And Kawhi Leonard is great if he plays, but he's one of these superstars. Does he bring eyeballs to the set? I'm not sure about that. And, you know, one of the things that's always kind of been against Toronto is they're in Canada. The ratings in the home market do not register the same way for ESPN in the States. So they don't get that bump from the home market viewing the Raptors, because those games are actually on TSN always in Canada. And so I think that always factors into why they don't ever get a Christmas game, why they used to complain about having the noon tip or the early tip in the playoffs, is because it's just, even if they're really good, they're not going to get as big of a rating. Now, if they had LeBron James, I'm sure they would be more marketable. But they still got 15 more national TV games than they had 1 year ago. They were at 12 a year ago. They were at 27 this season.
Yeah, that is interesting, and it's kind of funny because Kawhi at face value is one of the quietest in the league, yet somewhat ironically has turned into, you know, one of the more dramatic player back and forths in player and franchise in quite some time. So I guess that's been saying that they feel like there will be a lot of that and it'll bring interest. Do you remember any team? I'm pulling up the schedule now. Last year, there were 2 or 3 teams had 0, and the Pacers and I think Chicago had 1 national TV game, but it doesn't really look like there are many, if any, teams that had 0. Atlanta has 1, the Hornets have 1, Orlando has 1, but it looks like just about everybody got one this year.
Yeah, and the total column I'm looking at does include NBA TV, but the Nets, the Hawks, the Hornets, some of those bottom Eastern Conference teams, the Magic, they just aren't getting a lot of recognition. And the other two that maybe will play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder out west would be the Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies, the team the Pacers will see opening night. You know, they've had success. They did not have success last season. They're in Dallas, I guess, is not a small market by any means, but Memphis is. You wonder a little bit about Mike Conley, watching him this season to see what happens. And does he see something developing in Memphis that he wants to build it there? Or do they decide, you know, maybe it's time for him to go to another team? I'll be really interested to watch that. But Memphis, just one TNT game, no ABC, no ESPN. That's just a market and a team that doesn't appear to have captivated the country right now. But just some little TV nuggets. And once again, fans look forward to seeing which team is on national television. And we, of course, would always like to remind you, Fox Sports Indiana with 78 of the 82.
Well, one thing that stands out to me, too, about this national TV schedule is sometimes when you see a team that's been bad but has a really intriguing prospect from the draft, there doesn't really seem to be much of a Luka Doncic bump, a DeAndre Ayton bump. I would have thought maybe there would have been more games with Dallas just because Doncic is such an interesting draft pick and that he was such an interesting player, maybe the top guy coming out of this draft. But there didn't really seem to be a bump there. So I think the bottom line to me coming out of this schedule, I think a lot of people and a lot of fans were oftentimes wondering when the national spotlight was going to come. And I'm not just talking about TV, but I'm talking about, you know, national radar from all different mediums. And I think the Pacers really, you had to wait until after the All-Star break and into March before the Pacers got even a little bit of national attention. There was a little bit of sleeping on them for a lot of the year. And I remember discussing this on our season wrap-up podcast. Are the Pacers going to have to re-win over all of the national conversation again? And I was wondering that there might be people that would say, okay, it was a nice year for the Pacers, but maybe we feel like they overjumped their number. And, you know, you take away Lance Stephenson, who adds intrigue to a team. And I kind of thought the Pacers would have to prove themselves all over again. And I do think they're going to have to reprove themselves in some way. I think there are going to be writers that are skeptical of the Pacers, analysts that are skeptical of the Pacers. After coming off of what was a fantastic year last year, I think they're still going to have to come with that chip on their shoulder. And I think there's still going to be evidence where a national analyst may be picking the Pacers to finish seventh in the Eastern Conference. It won't surprise me. I think you're still going to see a decent amount of that nationally because I think you're going to have people that think the Pacers can't do that again. And from my perspective, I never really know how much players or coaches look at that kind of thing. But I don't mind that after a season that had, after all of these positives, and it's like you have to look at the playoffs, and if you have to take at it a silver lining, it's the fact that losing in Game 7 lights a bit of a fire under some of these guys. I know you talked about that a little bit with Miles. I think you're going to see national analysts that pick the Pacers all over the place. So I think you're going to have to prove a lot of what they did last year all over again. Prove it wasn't a fluke. And I like that. Hopefully these guys maybe see a little bit of that and come into the season with a chip on their shoulder, despite the fact that, look, there's clearly a base level of respect out there from a national perspective that has improved compared to this time last year.
I think it's always good to have a nice mix, to play with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, but to not dwell on it. And so I don't think we need to get into the GQ covers or the ESPN interviews and get all of that attention, because I think we've talked about this. Bill Baino referenced to me last year when the Pacers had a little bit of a dip in the middle of the season. He thought one of the reasons was a lot of the attention that came with this team, with some of those amazing comebacks and the gaudy record, and then the ESPN game against Paul George and the Thunder. He thought the attention and some of the notoriety, maybe it started to get to the players' heads a little bit. I would say a little bit of the dip could be attributed to the fact that Victor Oladipo missed about a week of play in late December and early January, and the Pacers didn't fare too well without him. But I think Bill Baino's point is valid. You know, fly under the radar a little bit, but always try to create a little bit more interest and have people take notice slowly but surely. Miles Turner is someone that hopes to, you know, get a lot of attention this year for his play on the court. Miles has been working hard. He told me that he made this decision to kind of formulate the offseason that he is going through during the All-Star break. He, I think, started last season fully thinking and expecting maybe he would be a part of some of the All-Star game festivities. And he wasn't chosen for the game. And that's still a goal for Miles. And that didn't necessarily mean that anything negative happened in the first half of the season. He was injured. He wasn't an All-Star. He went back home to Dallas and he spent some time at a place called the Athletic Performance Ranch. And there's a cabin and a house there. It's a secluded environment. They've got their own gym, workout facility. There are a number of amenities that are good for working out. And Miles actually did some workouts there during the All-Star break. He took in the scenery and he decided, I want to live here this summer. This is what I want to do. It's in the Dallas area. It's not necessarily right next door to his parents' house. I think they may be 30 minutes to 40 minutes away from where he's been staying. But I got a nice tour of the facility, Athletic Performance Ranch, and I kind of had a day in the life of Miles Turner, which involves a number of different things. And I don't want to get into every little detail, but just know that his entire plan this summer, much like we heard after the fact last summer about Victor Oladipo, about how he dedicated, you know, his offseason to changing his body and changing himself, similar to what Miles Turner is doing, not just because of, you know, what Victor was able to accomplish, but changing the diet, working out on a strict regimen, a phase program where he started with working on some individual drills and then he added some one-on-one and team, you know, happening now in the summer, some 5-on-5, but it also involves every little bit of strength training as well. You've seen the yoga features done. It was great to spend time with Miles Turner, and I really look forward to seeing how Miles, you know, embraces this opportunity, because he knows as much as anyone, Pat, that this is a big year for him personally. With his contract situation, with where he is in the NBA, this is the time that teams, you know, you make a decision with a guy that's drafted 10th, 11th in the draft, of whether he's a cornerstone piece or someone that you want to invest a significant amount of money in. And so Miles knows the time is now. He also knows the time is now for this team. But I'll just say, everything I saw from Miles and what he is doing to prepare himself, he's doing everything he can. You still have to perform on the court. There are some that see some of the workouts and the yoga and they say, can he get, you know, a rebound in traffic, and can he score in the post? He's working on the low post game. One of the coaches, his AAU coach, was talking with me, and he kind of put the program together. And he's like, he pointed the paint. He said, that right there, I want him to be better in the paint. That's what all Pacers fans want. His shooting will be there, but if he can be a little more versatile offensively, just think what this offense can do. Because, you know, I have a pretty good feeling Victor Oladipo is going to continue to take another step forward. The only issue, I think, at times, Pat, is, you know, can he have help? Can he avoid the double teams? And Miles is in a position to kind of really be that 1A type of player with Oladipo. So once again, we'll have this coverage for you early in the season, maybe even during the preseason games, and definitely an extended feature on opening night. It'll be tough to sit on it for that long, but that'll give us time to really work on it, tweak it, and make it all fancy for Fox Sports Indiana.
And this is just a guess, but I kind of have a theory as it relates to off-season workouts. We obviously typically don't get to see all of the inner workings of day-to-day workouts that players have in the off-season. Some players choose to show it more often than others, but that certainly doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's working harder than anybody else. And I kind of have a thought that maybe some guys that come out of college that are young in the NBA, they work what they think is hard, but then you see, and we talk about all the positives of what Victor Oladipo coming to Indianapolis has led. And I think maybe Miles watching what Victor did made him realize, okay, I'm working hard, but there's another level. Like, I don't think, there's no doubt in my mind that Miles Turner has worked hard this offseason. There's no doubt in my mind that Miles Turner has worked hard each offseason before. But maybe he realizes, and help with Victor Oladipo, that there's another level that he never noticed. And maybe some of it is working smarter, not harder. putting your effort in the way that best maximizes these results. And I think hopefully you saw what happened with Victor. It kind of spurs some of the same things with Miles. And I've been a pretty strong defender of Miles since he's been here. I think if you redraft that draft class, he goes well higher than the 11th pick. He had a nice jump in year two, and year three was kind of a flat line from him. And a flat line is not a bad thing. A flat line at a pretty high level of play, he's a legitimate NBA starter. He deserves that spot. As good as Domantas Sabonis is, Miles Turner is an NBA starting caliber center. I do think, though, that this is going to be a year for him that could determine a lot of his future. Is Miles Turner a long-term rotation player and a guy you want on your team and a solid NBA guy, a good rim protector, a good shooter? Or is he somebody that's a borderline all-star? Is he a multi-time all-star? Is he having the kind of jump that a LaMarcus Aldridge had as his career continued on and he started to make steps forward? So I think this year can have a lot to do with that. I'm maybe more excited to see Miles Turner come back than any other player that's on this roster. And just because you may not see as much about Thaddeus Young, look, I can guarantee you Thaddeus Young is working hard. Everybody does their workouts differently. Everybody spends their summer differently. But I'm really interested to see what Miles Turner did and what he is. And I think this may be the first time in Miles' career when you go and consider Miles' young career. He was a McDonald's All-American. He was a top recruit. He had his choice of schools coming out of high school. He chose to stay at the major program in his home state. He was a lottery draft pick. He immediately exceeded expectations. Miles hasn't really had an extended stretch of his basketball playing life where he's had frustration from any of the fans. He's been exceeding expectations from day one. Until this last year, when he didn't have a bad year by any stretch. But there were some people that were hoping to see him take the kind of jump that didn't necessarily happen in year three. And maybe long term, that's good for him because for the first time, he's facing a little bit of adversity. And we'll see how he handles some of that adversity, how he handles some of these workouts. And you think for him, if he can just get comfortable enough in the paint, like he's never going to be a back to the basket, even Domantas Sabonis style of player, but he has such a skill set in terms of his ball skills, his shooting, his ability to hang around the perimeter. He's one of the best shooters the Pacers have, period, regardless of position, that if he can just be effective enough in the paint, that his opponent has to at least respect his game in the paint, that they can't switch guards off to him in the paint. As long as he can get to that point, I think he'd become a really dynamic player in this league, and I really can't wait to see him get back here to Indianapolis to see some of these changes that he has hopefully made, and hopefully these things that you're witnessing down in Dallas for a couple of days are going to be big steps in the development of Miles Turner.
I would agree. I think that there are a number of storylines, and as you watch our early season coverage, you'll see, you know, an emphasis on Miles Turner, but we're also looking forward in the next month to get to know some of the new players as well, and I think that's one of the exciting things about, you know, September, late August. Guys start to come back in town, even the ones that don't live in, you know, the area in the offseason. They start to get in. You start to see a few more guys, you know, playing pickup at the St. Vincent Center, working out with individually some of the trainers and the strength coaches. And I guess that's one thing I do want to add to this. You know, some guys work out in the offseason and they give a lot of credit to those that are with them. You know, obviously Miles has a crew in Dallas that is basically working with him, different guys with different parts of his game, but they're doing it all sort of under the guidance of the Pacers. You know, Miles left at the offseason, you know, under contract with the Pacers, and he has, you know, obviously he's a huge part of their future. So it was sort of in conjunction with the strength and conditioning staff, the training staff, what he was planning to do. You know, and they endorse that, and then they look forward to having him back. And I do think, you know, you see some guys that are younger spend their offseason, you know, in Indianapolis. It's not a bad thing to get away in the offseason, to get a little bit of a change of scenery. So when you come back, first day of training camp starts, and then you're just focused for 6 months. Because it can be a little bit of a grind, obviously, when you're training camp, you have your preseason games, you get into the regular season, and you're playing, you know, three or four games per week. It's good to continue to work out, but maybe I think do it away from Indianapolis if you want to. And I think that one thing that with the professionalism of the guys on this team, no one's coming back out of shape anymore. And I think you said that earlier in this podcast. Everybody's working out. Everybody's doing something. Miles is sharing some of what he is doing, and then we will turn around and share it with you. But I'm excited about the season. I always am. There are always many reasons for optimism, but the schedule coming out is kind of that first indication that it's real, it's happening. You can think to, Thanksgiving night, what game am I going to be preparing for? New Year's Eve, who's going to be at the field house? When is that Western Conference road trip? All of those things are out there right now, and I think another group of people that is pretty happy right now would probably be the sales and marketing staff, Pat, because I've talked to some of those a few weeks ago, and they just said, I can't really do anything until there's a schedule. There's a schedule out now, and you can pretty much start locking in your tickets pretty soon.
Yeah, you can. Actually, there's full, half, and 10-game plans that are available right now, and I think some people don't necessarily understand all of the benefits and all the perks that come with being a package or a season ticket holder. I know you know as well as I do, there are so many events where we get to hang out with those people that put a lot of their time and their resources into being a major fan of this team. Coming out to Bankers Life Fieldhouse, 41, 20, 10 games a year. So Pacers.com/tickets is where you can go. Now the schedule is out. You can purchase your ticket packages over there. Full, half, and 10 game are available. And we, of course, welcome your viewership and your earbuds when you are not able to be at the game. Of course, our TV coverage and radio coverage will continue. And when you can't make it, we certainly appreciate you there. So the schedule is out. We're still a couple of months away from the season, but this is really the first step, I think, to realizing the NBA season is kind of on the horizon. And for me, the offseason always used to drag, but I've gotten to do a bigger role with the Fever this year, taking over the full-time play-by-play duties. And for me, this offseason has gone by really quickly. I'm amazed how quickly the offseason has gone compared to years past. We're already into mid-August here, and the Fever season is winding down. So it's exciting to have, the Fever season still going on, NBA basketball on the horizon, a nice needed break in between, but we're not too far here for picking things up back up full scale.
Yep, looking forward to it, Pat. And I think that now that the schedule is also out and you're seeing some win total projections and some different things, we also have the opportunity to maybe come to you a little more regularly with the Sideline Guys podcast. Maybe we can get a couple of special guests before they get too busy during the season. So this is Monday, August 13th. Maybe we do this every week, every couple of weeks possibly. You got time for that?
Yeah, I think I can fit you into my schedule.
All right, sounds good.
He's Jeremiah Johnson. I'm Pat Boylan. The schedule is here. NBA basketball is not too far away. And we appreciate you listening to another episode of the Sideline Guys podcast.